morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone here to the Clay County Corner, coming to you live and in living color on your radio dial, which happens to be tuned in to WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we come to you here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, with the rebroadcast this afternoon at 6 o'clock. And it's always a pleasure to be here, and we're grateful for all you folks out there in radio land that are listening to us. And we really appreciate that, and we appreciate the folks that help us make this possible each week, and that being the Three Star Committee, Chamber of Commerce, and all of the fine folks that advertise. And if you'd like to advertise on this show, give the folks at 101.5 Kicks Country a phone call and get all that set up. And we've got a couple, three or four interesting things to talk about today. But before we do that, I think we'll just take a little short break, gather all of our thoughts together, come back, and we've got, I know, a couple of important announcements to make, and we'll do that, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
An alarming number of preteens are already drinking alcohol, which makes it urgent to find every opportunity to talk to your kids about the dangers of underage drinking. They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's www.underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk. They hear you. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Back, everyone. This morning, I don't know where this show's going to wander to off this morning. I have invited and got him here after a mess up last week, all totally my fault. I know I have with me Mr. Gene Austin, fishing guide. And I just pulled up a website here. I think he said Mr. Paul Boyce did for him years ago. And it has his address there as 602 Watson Wood Drive in Nashville, but that ain't his address no more. His address now is here in Salina, Tennessee. He's one of the He wasn't a classmate of mine in high school, but he was right behind me, I think, and a lifelong friend, even though we haven't spent a lot of time together over the years. But he was one of those folks, when you meet with him, you felt like, hey, what did we talk about yesterday when we was together? And that's kind of where we're at today. But Gene is a fisherman, a championship fisherman. And I know, just looking at his little website thing here, that he has... He was the two-time State of Tennessee fishing champion, and I believe that was a contest that was sponsored by
the National Tennessee.
And it was one of these things that ran for like a whole season or something, wasn't it?
Oh, well, they ran it for about 6 years.
And it ran a long, long time. And he has a company called the Corporate Guide Service, and he's been doing that. That company, I believe, for
47 years.
And been fishing a long, long time. And for a long time, held the Tennessee lake trout record of 16 pounds, 11 ounces up until about 1995. Who surpassed you, Gene?
Some gentleman from North Carolina and East Tennessee caught one trolling, Tom.
That ain't fair, is it?
But, no. trolling don't count.
Well, we better take that back, because any lake trout fisherman knows that's how you caught them, even they'll holler you trolled for them.
Nothing wrong with trolling. I was just joking. I know a lot of people do it.
And it says here that you have got guys that work under you.
Thomas, up until about Opryland sold out the theme park.
Yeah.
I had 40 guys that got it for me, because we did all of Opryland's corporate outings for them and their executives and all. But now I have about five
that work for me. Okay. And, don't know where to start, but I think one of the best places to start with you this morning would be where you got started fishing.
Thomas, my father started me fishing when I was 5 years old. He put aluminum pie pan out in the front yard and bought me a little Zebco with a rubber casting plug on it. And he said, "Now, as soon as you can throw inside that pie pan 7 out of 10 times, I'll let you get in the boat with me." Well, it took me about 3 weeks. Well, by the time I was 10 years old, I could cast better than my dad.
How did that make him feel?
Hey, he was proud.
He wasn't jealous of his son.
Thomas, my daddy, I'll tell you this, worked at the powerhouse, as you know, as an operator. My dad built me my first boat when I was 10 years old. I was allowed to go out in it by myself when I was 10. He said, "But I will be looking at you so many times, and if I ever see that life jacket off of you, I'll call you in." I couldn't get out of the government boathouse hall. It was the only place I could go. He said, "I'll sail the boat, and you're through fishing."
And you took him at his word.
I did take him at his word, and I never took the life jacket off.
And I know we were talking a little bit earlier, and you talked about the role that the late Billy Westmoreland had in shaping you as a young fisherman.
Well, Bob Maywall gave me a job at Dale Hollow Dock. And when I started working down there, Billy had a slip over there. He kept his fishing boat in. Well, he just got to sitting down when he'd come in from fishing and talking with me for a long time. And he said, "Jim, what do you do when you get off from work?" And I said, "Billy, I jump in a boat and go fishing every day, 7 days a week." And he said, "Well, young man, I'll take you out with me one day." About 3 days later, he took me out. I fished with him through my 7th grade year, 8th grade year, freshman, sophomore, junior year in high school. And then Billy started fishing the Bassmaster circuit. So we never fished together again. But he and I were great friends. And I learned an awful lot from him. And I went over to his house. He asked me to come over and help him tie night crawler harnesses one night, and I went over and done that, and he looked fine to me. And 2 weeks later, his wife called me on a Saturday night and said, "Gene, would you come over here and help me get Billy out of the chair and get him to bed. I can't get him up. I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I went over and Billy said, pull your chair up over here. And we talked about old times and fishing on Del Hollow for probably an hour. And Billy's wife came in and she said, well, now, Billy, don't you think it's about time for bed? And he said, yeah, I guess it is. So I got him out of his chair and put him on his walker and took him to the bedroom, got his feet up on the bed. And then I'm pretty sure it was Monday morning, 2 days later, she called me in Nashville and told me he'd passed away.
Well, you know, one of the, of course, legendary fishermen.
Sure.
One of the earliest in the Bassmasters thing when it first started. You know, it wasn't really a great big deal at that time. That has now turned into a multi-billionaire business with numerous other groups that have started it. And he also, Billy was one of those guys that never forgot where he came from.
He was.
He win a contest or really anywhere he was at any time, he always brought it back to Del Hollow Lake in Salina, Tennessee.
He did.
And, you know, and he was, I can remember, he was a great self-promoter. I can remember that from the days when I worked at Cedar Hill. I worked after we sent Billy Barlow home up there at midnight. But,
and, I remember that as well.
But he would come in, and he kind of, one of the things that he would do, I know he would have him a nice catch of bass, and he would go around to all the boat docks. And if there happened to catch a fisherman there, he'd call them over, they'd come over and have their picture made with him, with his string of fish. And while they were there, he autographed their fishing license for them. I mean, he was just such a just a promoter for really fishing here on Del Hollow. And but now here I'm sitting here with you, and I don't, as far as publicity, very few folks know what we just talked about here about Gene Austin and the accomplishments that are involved with that. And I tell you, what a pleasure it is for folks like me to realize now that you are back here in Salina and that you're able to, you're still running your business. And most businesses now you can run online or with your cell phone or whatever. And it's just a pleasure. Having folks like you back home with us.
Well,
and,
thank you, Tom.
And I know that you're kind of getting back fit in here at Salina, and I know that one of the things that, but before we start this, I'm going to take a little short break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to let you talk a little bit about some of the events and things that you worked on over the years, all the different projects, the different charities, and some of those things like, and some of the interesting folks you met along the way while you were doing
sure.
that. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Alcohol continues to be the most widely abused substance among teens. Youth who drink alcohol are more likely to experience school problems, such as higher rates of absences or lower grades, social problems, such as fighting or lack of participation in activities, even unwanted, unplanned, and unprotected sexual activity. On average, alcohol is a factor in the deaths of approximately 4,300 people under 21 in the United States per year. Learn how you can keep underage youth informed about the consequences of substance misuse at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Sitting here this morning with Gene Austin, longtime friend, and with him, a longtime fisherman. And he has, I know, he has the Corporate Fisherman Guide Service, which really wasn't a guide service. An event service, and as he said, he worked for a number of big corporations there in Nashville, had a number of, and he has a number of stories about some of the events that took place down there with some fairly familiar names, some of them. Gene, you want to, I don't know, you kind of pick you out a spot where you want to start. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, Thomas, I'll just start from the very first one. And as I told you, I guess the things that I have gotten out of fishing, above all the many friends and customers that I get, the same ones year after year, like Dr. Michael Rowe in Chattanooga, chief of surgery. He told me this spring, he said, Gene, do you realize this is the 24th year that we fished together? And his father's the one that started the Livingston Hospital, Dr. Rowe. That's his dad.
Right.
But anyway, I guess the things that I'm probably the most proud of that fishing has brought me head on with would be all the charitable events that I have been very fortunate enough to head up and be a part of. About the seventh year I was out of college, which would have been about 75, I was South Nashville chairman for cerebral palsy for one campaign. And then years later, as I got bigger and bigger in fishing and worked at Vanderbilt and different companies, I did the Jimmy Holt charity roast that we raised $36,000 for, and we donated that money to the National Cancer Association. And then a few years later, I thought about it, and having fished with Porter Wagner and Little Jimmy Dickens for about 24 years, I thought, well, Porter would be a perfect one to have a roast for and raise some money for someone that needs it. So I put a committee together, including Bob Whitaker, the president of the Grand Ole Opry, and we put a committee together and done Porter's charity roast. And to make a long story short, we raised $69,000 that night, and I gave Porter a list of charities that we had written down, and I told him to pick one, and we donated that money, and we took them a check 2 days later to Minnie Pearl Cancer Foundation at St. Thomas Hospital. I done the first four invitation-only fishing tournaments for the CMA in Nashville, and all of those proceeds we raised from those tournaments went to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I did two of them with Brad Paisley and one with Atkins.
Yeah, I know you're saying.
Can't think of his first name now. And did one with Porter.
Good.
But anyway, I've been a part of groups that have raised an awful lot of money for charities, and I guess that's one thing I'm probably most proud of from where fishing has taken me, other than all the friends I've made along the way.
Okay, now let me back up there just a second. You mentioned Jimmy Holt, who was the outdoor rider for the Nashville, Tennessee, and for years and years and years, and everyone knew about Jimmy and all of his fishing prowess. But let's talk about the real fisherman in that family, a fellow named Jack Holt.
He was. I agree with you.
I know Jack Holt could come to Dale Hollow during the years when nobody was catching smallmouth fish. He went by himself. Nobody ever went fishing with him.
Including his son.
And if anybody asked him, oh, where'd you catch that fish, he would hold that hand up and say, right out there. And I think maybe one of his favorite fishing things was the old dial fly with a minnow on it. But now he could catch fish.
Jack was a good fisherman, and on top of that, he was a fine person.
I know he came up
there
a whole lot. Okay, now, I think maybe a story that you related earlier was a Dolly and Porter story, which I think most folks have never heard about. And would you like to repeat that?
Well, I think it would be all right. When I put the committee together and we done the Porter Wagner Charity Roast Dinner at Opryland, let me see if I can remember all of our roasters. Dolly Parton was one of them, and which was ironic because her and Porter had had their split years ago. They hadn't spoke to one another in, I don't know, 9, 10 years, something like that. And had Waylon Jennings, Chet Atkins, E.W. Bud Wendell, that was chairman of the board of Opryland. Little Jimmy Dickens was a roaster. Tom Mann, that owned Tom Mann Bait Company, was a roaster. And Elmer Dahl Thompson, that invented the dog fly. But anyway, to shorten this up, after the dinner that night, there were numerous cameramen.
Can I stop you?
Yes.
Can you remember much of what Dolly might have said that night?
No, I can't. I just know everything she said was funny, and including the first statement she made was funny. And Porter just sat there about three chairs down from her and laughed and laughed and laughed. And she kept the audience in stitches the whole night. But I can't remember one particular statement she made, Thomas.
But I've got a feeling it wasn't exactly what everyone thought the reactions might be on both ends of that.
Wasn't any of it.
Okay, now go ahead where you were.
But anyway, when the dinner was over and all that night, all these cameramen and reporters around, and of course they're not there to talk to me. They're there to talk to Dolly and Porter and some of the roasters that were celebrities up on the stage. And Porter and Dolly slipped off to a table over, and it was halfway dark, halfway lit, and they sat there and talked for probably 35 or 40 minutes. And after about 3 or 4 minutes of them sitting down, I heard Dolly bust out laughing. And a few seconds later, Porter bust out laughing. Well, the rest of that conversation involved both of them sitting there laughing and talking about we don't know what. But anyway, they became great friends again, and Dolly always gave Porter credit for making her career.
Absolutely.
Always she
Absolutely.
Had.
You know, because the great hit song, I Will Always Love You, was written especially for Porter, and just probably one of the greatest group of words ever put together in the order that it was, and the success of it.
After we done that dinner that night, Thomas, a couple of days later, he came over to the house, and he brought me one of his books. It's a hardback book, and it's called A Satisfied Mind by Porter Wagoner. And I opened it up, and he had inscripted two full pages of writing to me. And I've still got that book in my bookcase, and I've read it, and it's a really, really good book. I don't know where you would find it now, but...
Amazon.com.
Probably. But if there's any Porter Wagoner fans out there, you could find it online, I'm sure.
I know, of course, Porter fished a whole lot up at Center Hill.
He did.
And I think Porter had a floating mansion up there until it became illegal, which was called a boathouse. And I know that he spent a lot of time there. And I'm not sure if... Porter had fished Dale Hollow much or not, but
Thomas, I got him to coming over here and fishing with me, but we never one time daytime fish. Porter liked to night fish, so he and Jimmy and I, we always night fished up there.
Would not like publicity in night fishing.
No, not really.
Not a lot of cameras. Well, Gene, with that, we're going to take a little short break, and our birthdays and anniversaries today. This one today is kind of unusual. Mr. Jerry Strong called in his own birthday, his 68th birthday, I believe July the 31st, and he really expressed how he would like to win one of those cakes. Well, this is one of those days, one of those weeks, where there must have been a whole lot of things going on because he was the only one that called in. So it looks like that he may have won himself a birthday cake. With that, we'll take a little short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Yes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposits. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Back, everyone. A little short announcement before we go much further. On Wednesday, August the 18th, and this is going to become official with press releases and all these kind of things, but on Wednesday, August the 18th at 2 p.m., the
Tennessee Music Pathways marker for Dumas Walker and the Kentucky Headhunters will be unveiled here at the courthouse, and we'll probably have a bunch of dignitaries from state tourism people, some politicians, and some folks closely associated with Dumas. I know he has a nephew still here. We'll probably try to get him on, make a little 4 or 5 minute talk about his memories of Uncle Dumas. And then also we'll have the Kentucky Headhunters themselves are going to be here. I talked to them yesterday, and they're quite eager to get down here, and each one of them are going to be speaking about this song and about I'd say their career and what it means to them to to be sharing this marker with Dumas Walker. And of course, Dumas was a longtime sheriff here in Tennessee. We all knew about him and around this area. He was one of the roly-hole marble players. And we've got, of course, coming up here, I guess September the 18th, I believe it is the National Roly-Hole Marble Contest over at Standing Stone Park. So there's a bunch of things on that. And one of the long-term ideas for the old courthouse here is a roly-hole marble museum or display room here at the old courthouse. So lots of things going on here with that, and that's coming up, like I said, Wednesday, August the 18th at 2 p.m. here in the courthouse yard. And if it happens to be raining, I guess we'll have to get the air fixed and go up in the old courtroom upstairs and do some of it up there. Gene, the old Tennessean fishing contest for youngsters, did you ever enter that and win anything there, maybe? Or I know you had some tough fishing there because you mentioned the name there a minute ago, and that was Donnie Peeler, who had a habit of winning that thing just about every year there for a long time.
I won it twice, and I believe Donnie won it twice. But how that was set up, Thomas, there was two divisions
right. That
you entered. The juniors was 16 years of age and under. The adults was 16 and over. So until you got to the age of 17, you had to fish in the junior division. So I think I finished twice and won it twice. And I can't remember how many times Donnie won it.
A whole bunch.
I remember Donnie and I got a huge ride up in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were kids one time. Well, Lord, we thought we'd died and gone to heaven. But then when I got turned 17, my freshman year in college, I won the men's division.
So you moved up. I don't think Donnie ever, I don't really ever fished any competitively in any way. I know.
Not to my knowledge, he did.
He's a tremendous fisherman, but I think maybe he did a little guiding here on the lake some. But most of the time, he's just been a recreational fisherman that enjoyed fishing and still does.
Well, I've fished several Bassmaster tournaments, and I have fished all over the United States. I've bass fished in 39 states, so I've covered a good portion of it.
Can you remember what the prize you won from the Tennessean contest?
Yes, I can. Donnie as well, we each won boats and motors, not to mention all the rod and reels you won for each of the fish that were in the top three in each class of species. You got a rod or a reel or both.
Right.
But we won boats and motors.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you win a brown belt boat or was it someone else's?
No, they were all-star boats made in Dixon, Tennessee.
You know, we had the brown belt factory here.
I do.
I think they made the old wooden fishing boat that were used around the boat dock.
Ours were fiberglass.
And then they went to fiberglass. I think Brown built a few fiberglass boats that were used for dock boats, and some of those things are still in existence today. I know some of the dock boats.
I know they are.
You may still stick your foot in one of them every once in a while, just for old time's sake. But I think the brown built boats maybe were one of the first fiberglass boats built in the state of Tennessee.
Them and Astroglass.
And their factory, the place they had a little warehouse over here behind where Copeland's is now, and for a number of years they were one of the top suppliers.
They made and sold a lot of boats, didn't they?
Made and sold a whole lot of boats. And the old wooden boats, I mean, those were probably the most sturdy boat.
I think they were.
If Huckleberry Finn had had that, he'd made it down the river a whole lot quicker than that old Missouri boat he had.
And Gene, you know, you were talking about a fishing contest. Relate to us a little bit exactly what it's like to be entered in one of those contests.
You talking about a contest or a tournament?
I'm talking about a tournament.
A tournament. Well, wherever they're having it at, you normally have to make preparations to go to that lake and pre-fish it way before the tournament. And then normally the week of the tournament, you're allowed to pre-fish for 2 days. The day before the tournament, you cannot be allowed on the lake. And then the tournament starts, and depending on the number of pounds you catch is where you move up or fall out, and there'll be a cutoff just like a golf tournament. You know, if you don't make the top 30 or 40
right
the first day, then those below a certain poundage, they go home, and
they're
you
done.
Keep moving up, and you just, that's the way it works.
How many fishermen are usually fishing the last day?
Well, I have fished a lot of tournaments at 250 fishermen in a tournament. That's a full field.
Right.
But now the tournaments they have anymore, they have really cut the number that they allow in these tournaments down for water safety reasons.
Right. I know that, and something that Dale Holla, I'm not sure if the Bassmaster's ever done one here. I
no,
don't think they have.
They have not, and I'll tell you why.
That's where I'm going right there.
This is what Ray told me that was head of Bassmaster's. He told me that they had looked at having some Bassmaster tournaments on Dale Holla. The only reason they didn't, there was not enough lodging or food accommodation in the counties that surrounded the lake to accommodate all the families and people that come to these tournaments, which can be thousands of people.
Right, right. But, you know, that's something, too, that I know you and I both are, you know, we really give a lot of consideration to, and that is protecting Dale Holloway.
Sure.
Because, you know, if you allow all that stuff to settle around it, and this is something we've also talked about, that we're getting to the point now where we're going to lose something in Dale Holla that we've had forever, and that is water purity, safety, the ability to find a nice little cove to hide and enjoy yourself for a week.
Well, you know, the water purification in Dale Holla, Thomas, believe it or not, has still helped up to over 98% for the moment.
Right.
As it always has been, and that's more pure than the drinking water out of your spigot at home.
And I think I've heard somewhere that it may be just a few percentage points higher than it was when it was impounded.
I've
heard that story.
I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because, see, we have no farms on the lake. We have no cattle runoff. We have no industry on the lake. So it's all spring-fed and rainwater.
Right.
That's it.
And I know in the wintertime, by working at the boat dock like I did after, not necessarily in the wintertime, but after the leaves fall in this area here, I believe it, for every inch of rain that falls, there's 1 foot of runoff that goes into Dale Holla Lake, which is nearly unbelievable that we get that much runoff, and it's usually pretty clear water that comes in.
If I remember correctly what my dad told me one time when he worked at the powerhouse, if they generated all three generators 7 days a week, they could only pull Dale Holla Lake 12 to 13 inches a week in a 7 day period.
And that can come back
if
up.
If I remember correctly.
Right. And I know this lake has, it's been a haven for folks for years.
Oh, it has.
And years. And I do know that we have some problems now with wake boats. I know it is a problem because, I know Gene is shaking his head here because if you don't know what a wake boat is, it's one of these big boats that makes a wave that these folks can surf behind and things like that, except this wave will also turn over a dinghy out there with anybody or a fisherman trying to fish.
Uh-huh.
And it is creating a little bit of a problem. And
Thomas, the brand of those boats that do that, they're called Mambas. And what they have
they have huge water bladders inside the boat that you fill with water. So those boats are not running on top of the water. Right. They're pushing water.
Right.
And I've had them come by me and wet my blue jeans up to my knee with one wave. Now, that's too much.
Okay, and another thing we were talking about, the fishing tournaments. Is there any such thing as a nighttime tournament?
Not a major nighttime tournament, and but a lot of clubs have them.
Right, and I know the local clubs all do. I've had a couple of those. I went up with a buddy one night.
They're like 7 or 8 to midnight, something like that, somewhere along in there. Now, in Percy Priest in Nashville, I fished a lot of them that ran 7 to midnight. You could fish by yourself or with someone. And we'd have anywhere from 60 to 75 boats in it. So, you know, you could win some money if you fish for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things, too, because, you know, I know Dale Holler has a reputation, you know, obviously. Smallmouth capital of the world. But in the later years, Dale Holler Lake hasn't really been a good daytime fishing lake, has it? There's a very few weeks in there when it's tremendous.
March, April, and May, it's outstanding.
Right.
Those 3 months when the water temperature is cooler and you don't have the boat traffic. You have very little, as a matter of fact. You just have it to yourself. There's a lot of days I got in March that I never see a boat the whole day.
Well, you know, when I fished, my brother and I used to fish quite a bit in the spring, and we were asked, I know some of these artificial guys, they kind of make fun of us, but we'd get us a bar hook and hook a big tuffy on it and toss it out there and kind of relax for a few seconds and steal that tuffy headed for big water in a hurry, and you knew what was there. And that's how we fished. I know a lot of people. I know my buddy down in Gainesville, Joe Highcracker, he used to make big-time fun of me. And I'd come back and I'd say, now look.
I know Joe well.
Anyone that talks about fishing with minnows, I want you to explain the difference to me in minnow fishing and floating fly fishing. Would you please explain the technical differences? I said, the only difference is you got a floater on yours.
Well, Thomas, the big difference is when you're fishing a floating fly, you just have a bobber on a 9-foot rod or 10-foot rod,
right,
and you set your depth below that bobber what you want it. Now, me personally and my clients, I set mine at 9-foot to 10-foot, and you're fishing an ultra-small jig.
Right.
And all you're doing, and your float that's on the line has to be pear-shaped, or it won't pop in the water.
Yeah.
And all you're doing, you're fishing for suspended fish that are going to be 25 to 30-something foot deep. When you pop that float, they look up and see that little jig sitting there dancing. They come up and grab it. Now, going to the live bait, you're basically fishing the bottom.
And, you know, that's what I thought. I said, you know, about the only difference is you have to wiggle your boat and your bait, and my bait wiggles itself.
There you go. You got it. I can't argue with that.
Well, Gene, if you got anything, we're going to kind of wrap up here. Miss Mary Lloyd just came in, and she's got a big event coming up here. And I know you guys have known each other for about 2 weeks.
A couple of years.
About 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure having you here, and I want to invite you back again sometime.
Well, thank you, Thomas.
And I know it's great to have you here with us. And, you know, we're going to be looking. We may be looking at you sometime to set up some kind of little charity thing here on Dale Holler Lake through the chamber, maybe.
Mayor Lord, and I'll be delighted to do it.
And an old boat dock owner here coming in.
Thanks,
all that, we're going to take a little short break. We'll be back just in a few minutes. Thanks, Gene.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today.
Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
An alarming number of preteens are already drinking alcohol, which makes it urgent to find every opportunity to talk to your kids about the dangers of underage drinking. They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's www.underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk. They hear you. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. We finally got Gene to leave. I'm telling you what, it's a pleasure having them here, going back through some old memories. I know Gene worked over at Dale Hollow Boat Dock when he was a youngster. And as so many of our young kids, young men, young ladies that worked at those boat docks.
Just like you.
Just like me. I know we had young high school kids that worked to watered Mr. Roberts' roses, things like that. But just a great time here. And I know Gene's been back for a little while, but we're just right now trying to get him involved in some of the community activities.
Well, he's just really getting moved in and getting situated and see what's going on here.
Yeah, and like I said, I know that we said last week that his mother-in-law is in bad health. She lives over in East Tennessee, and he and his wife are kind of settled, but, spreading time. Great person to have moved back into Salina.
Right.
He is still running his corporate fishing group from here. And so we've got, I guess that'd be a new business in town.
Yeah, right.
But with that, how are you this morning?
I'm alive and kicking.
Well, you had anything to do for the last few days.
I know it, and I still got a whole lot to do these last 2 days, the last few touches and everything.
What are you doing this for?
Well, I want to kind of thank the Clay County Horizon. They really went out to this edition. Because it tells about the inaugural event for the Clay County Museum, the festival we're having now, which is different from anything we've had, but it's not different in that we always had homecoming. Same old different thing, but it's just one day. But we're having pretty much the same stuff. It's just not as long, but we'll be having the food booths and the vendors all around, and I know one of the vendors we're having supposed to be here is the fella who does the wood cutting and makes the animals and stuff. He's going to be here just demonstrating.
The chainsaw artist.
Well, I don't know. This is one down the Gainsborough Highway, and I don't know if that's the same one.
Oh, okay.
That's the chainsaw one. He's been here, but this is a different. I went down and talked to him. He said he'd be glad to come up. And, just lots of different things and everything. And, of course, then we're having the carry from 1 to 4, we're having the karaoke. So if anybody wants to come sing, just come on. They'll let you sing. They usually the fellow that does this for us has all this music and has a television screen, so if you don't know the words and everything, he can take care of you in anything.
Well, now, if you notice anymore, when you have these things going on singing, you'll see the singer with a telephone in front of their hand.
Right.
Which is just, they're doing the same thing.
Right, they don't have their words and stuff, but he's kind of made a thing out of this where he does it a lot around and everything. And then we're having, of course, the duck race will be at 2 o'clock.
Are the ducks all in training?
Oh, they're all in training. We've got some more. We've got to shift to shake up a little bit over in the office, get them ready. But we've got most of them all lined up to go. And then we're having the cow patty. The 4-H'ers are having the cow patty contest on the west side of the building. And at the same time, the cakewalk's going to be going on the right side of the building, and that's at 6 o'clock. And as soon as the cakewalk gets over, then the band will kick up, and they'll play till whenever.
Whenever they get ready.
Whenever they get wore out or tired or anything bad happens, you know. But we're pleased with everything that goes on and everything. But I was so surprised when I got to Clay County Horizon and front page, you know. Usually they always cover us real good. But I told somebody, I said, nothing else must not been happening around here this weekend.
Sometimes it makes you wonder.
Yeah, and everything. And then they put the whole flyer in the back so you could have cut it out if you wanted to. But I'm getting ready to go around town and just put out flyers and clean up the last bit and do the thing, last minute things that have to be done to get everything ready. And because probably two of our food vendors are coming in tomorrow. They usually come in late tomorrow evening, you know, and get set up and everything. But
well, you know, the Horizon is home owned and home operated.
And
if you have a cute little news story, there's a way you can get in contact with them, and they will absolutely publish it.
Right.
And it's just.
Well, I got tickled when I first started reading, of course, they was telling about what we was doing and everything. But Thomas and them have done so many articles for us where we've explained our philosophy and everything. He just put it all in there so you could, you know, understand.
All at one time.
All at one time and everything, because we have always had somebody through the SEP program through UCHRA to help us keep the museum open during the days. And we've lost that. Well, of course, with COVID, they shut us down so much. We were closed so much in the last year and a half. And then the fella that was there with me, his wife got sick, and he's had to stay home with her. And he did such a good job. I got tickled at him. They lived up in Indiana someplace, but she was from here, and they moved back here and everything. And when I first talked to him, I said, well, what'd y'all do? They had run a fairground and had to do all the scheduling and everything, so he understood about a lot of it. And I really miss him, because I could just say, I got tickled the last day he was there. He wrote a little list, so if anybody else came in, this is what I do every day. So, but it was a pleasure to have him there and everything. So we've got to figure out some way to get some help now to at least keep it open a few days, you know, and everything. Right now we're open by appointment. So if anybody wants anything or wants to come back, call me and I'll set them up with something and what they're looking for, or what they're wanting to do. Or
has that program just died?
I don't think they can get anybody to apply for it now. And everything, so I don't know what's, you know, we're just kind of playing it by ear till we can do something else. But I know, you know, they're just minimum wage people, but there's somebody that's over 55 that fits their guidelines, and I don't know what all it is. But I know I talked to the lady over there the other day, and she said, no, they just hadn't had anybody coming in and applying, you know, that's interested in it. And then some of them, we did have two come in, and both of them didn't qualify. Something in there probably made too much money, you know, and everything. But still, we're probably going to be looking for some people to come help us and everything. So if anybody's interested, just give me a call, and we'll see what we can do, you know.
And that's through the development district?
No, it's through UCHRA. UCHRA, and everything. You know, times have just changed now. And I don't know that times will ever be back like they exactly were.
No.
They'll just be different.
Cakewalk,
yeah.
We got the cakewalk all set up.
Oh, we're getting there. I talked to the girl who's doing it, Renee, and she said, oh, yeah, we got lots of cake. We have merchandise, too. I think we're going to have some pontoon rentals and that for the day. I don't know exactly what they are, but some of the docs have done that. And we got a lot of merchandise and stuff that advertised that a lot of the businesses and stuff have donated to us and everything. So we usually have and what we do, it's $1 a walk, but we give three gifts each time. We give a bigger gift and medium gift and a small gift, so that it really makes it, everybody gets more gifts, and it really makes it go off quicker.
And a little easier to collect.
Oh, it's a lot easier to collect. And best thing, we don't have to count them quarters, and everything. So we've done that the last couple of years and everything. Worst thing was, of course, we skipped last year because of COVID, and we started doing the painting the numbers back on the things, and we looked around, and we wasn't doing them right. I had to go get some black paint, and we was putting them too close together, and we was coming up with, like 55 and 56, and it's going to be 2 feet away, and get them spaced because we just couldn't see where the old numbers were. Usually every year we go in and touch it up, and everything, but last year we didn't because...
That had them real close together.
The side ones are closer.
We're friendly people.
Right. Well, the side ones are closer together, but when we come across the end, they've always been a little further apart. We just didn't catch that, We got to laughing about it. But the best thing about it, we did that Sunday afternoon. It wasn't hot. We've done that when it's hot, and you're talking about killing yourself. But that's just life. That's just things you have to do and everything. But one of the other things we want to invite everybody to come and visit the courthouse, the historical courthouse, because what a lot of people don't understand, we are probably one of the oldest courthouses. But until they moved the courthouse in, we were probably the first or second one that was still in operation from what it was built for and everything.
Well, we're kind of still in operation.
We are
the auxiliary courthouse.
Right, and everything, but not, like the other. And we have the historic panels that tell the history of the county and everything inside. And I know there's a lot of people in the county that probably hadn't even seen those. But you can come through and read them all and everything and the building and see what it's like. And we're making some, Thomas, of course, is the curator. And we're redoing some of the windows and trying to make improvements and stuff on it all the time.
Excuse our windows.
Well, that's all right, but that shows there's progress going on.
Well, I got a call from those folks yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're painting the wood part of the windows now.
Yeah.
They completely dismantled our windows. I mean, they just tore them all apart. They've got them back together, and they're painting them today, I believe. And within a few weeks, we'll be getting them back. They got to put the old glass back in, reglaze, and get them back up here. But we're working on getting the outside ready for them. And
I'll be glad just to see one put in, won't you, and everything.
We'll be able to get those four in here.
Right.
We may have enough money to send the other two on the end back with them.
Well, that will be good. And I know somebody's going to say, well, how's it paying for it? Well, the windows that we have that are taken out, different individuals have donated, or families have donated the different amounts of money for different windows.
To supplement a grant.
Supplement the grant that we did. So I know our family did, because I've had somebody that worked in this courthouse from 1918 to 2010, so I kind of feel at home.
Okay, well, guess what?
What?
We've run out of time.
That's all right.
Well, no, it ain't all right, but they make us quit after about an hour.
Okay.
And of course, we'd like to thank everyone for listening in this morning. Come out Saturday for the
festival.
And also, we got a car show out
there. Right, car show. Don't forget that.
And we've got a bunch of things coming up, and we're looking at some things maybe to do here on WVFB at the Headhunter thing. So we'll be letting you know more about that, because it's real soon. That's going to be coming up with that. I guess it's time we announce that, Mr. Jerry Strong, you did win the cake.
come get your go get your coupon.
And he was the only one to call in.
Well, that's...
And he called himself in.
Well, that's pretty...
A good day, Clay County. We've got to go. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet you again next week here at WVFBF in 101.5 Kicks Country. Bye, Clay County.